Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. As all of the young people are being dismissed, I'd ask you to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy is a special book to me. I love the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, we've looked at them before, and we've discussed their pastoral epistles. As Paul was used to write to this young preacher boy named Timothy, they are specifically geared toward, if you will, they're specifically geared toward the pastors, the pastorate. But I have said so many times that if it's in the Word of God, it's for everyone. Amen? I believe in rightly dividing the Word of truth, as we're commanded to do in Scripture. All right? But I believe that no matter who it might have been written to, what the purposeful and the perfect intent would have been, if it's in the Word of God, we can gain a knowledge and understanding and strength from it. Amen? All right. I guess we're going to pray and have an invitation because we've got no one with us. How many of you is here this morning? I want you to raise your hand. Tell me you're awake. Please, tell me you're awake. Some of you aren't even awake. I should see every hand. I'm awake, preacher. I'm awake. All right. Thank you. The Word of God, regardless of who the perfect intent was, it's good for all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I thought I joined a Methodist church there for just a moment. Listen, well, we should be excited about the Bible. I say this because 2 Timothy is special to me. My life verse comes out of chapter 2. I quote it quite often. I quoted it in Sunday school. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's special to me because I believe that as a soldier for the Lord, I should make sure that nothing in this life is more important than what God wants me to do. Now you say, well, you say that because you're a pastor. No, I chose that as my life verse many, many years before I was a pastor. Years before I was a youth pastor. When I was wanting to serve the Lord in whatever area and whatever way, I took that as my life verse. It's a special book to me, but it's special for another reason. I'm going to read my passage. I'm going to kind of develop this, the message here, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But if you will, turn your attention there in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. We're going to read several verses down through the second chapter, but beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Now, obviously, we know that Paul wasn't shy about pointing out error. He wasn't shy about pointing out the individuals who were in error. Amen? So don't ever get real timid or worried if I ever talk about an individual who is preaching error from Scripture. Don't be too concerned about that. I'm just following a good principle in the Bible. Amen? We should, as it says there in verse 16, we should shun profane and vain babbling. Why? Because it will increase into more ungodliness. Now, we go on down to verse number 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." The title of our message comes right there out of verse number 21. Meet for the master's use. Meet for the master's use. Ready for the master's use. Prepared for the master's use. Willing for the master's use. I pray that this morning that would be a description of you. I want you to think about these verses. I want us to think about the servants of the Lord as we consider being meet, being ready for the master's use. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and I pray that you would be with us this morning. I pray, dear God, that you would do justice to your word. Lord, that you would allow me to do justice to your word through this message. I pray that you would work in every heart and in every life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have you be seated. Praise God for that. May 4th 2008. Brother Kasavi, May 4th, 2008, the first time you ever came to this church. You came alone. Your wife wasn't with you at the time. I have that recorded. I don't remember when you joined, but I have that recorded. Almost a year later, he came on 5-4 of 08. She first came 4-5 of 09. And I remember when she came. And as I've always joked with Brother Theo, sometimes I'll have to ask him a couple times, maybe three times, to repeat what he said. Oh, what was that you said? And I joke with him still to this day about that. But they started coming back then, and in fact, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Esther, it was the first time that you had come. You started talking to my wife about the ladies' jubilee that you always had over there. Now, I didn't know them. I didn't know anything about them. I hadn't met them prior to this. Here he walks in this one Sunday and is a guest of ours. And then a few months later, his wife comes in and a guest of ours. And they start talking to us, and she starts talking to us about this ladies' jubilee. And at that same time, we had Miss Bobby Joy that was here, and she spoke for our ladies. And I remember you talking to Miss Bobby Joy about coming over to speak to the ladies at the ladies' jubilee. And Mrs. Joy asked me, my wife and me, and said, "Now, who is this Esther Kasavi?" And even at the time, I said, "I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is here." And they kept coming and kept coming. And then I found out that they were missionaries. Not only missionaries, but they were missionaries through Prayer Baptist up in Boiling Springs. And I knew the president at the time. Brother Davis at the time was the president of the Prayer Baptist board. And so I called Brother Davis one time. In fact, when I finally got a hold of him, I believe I was over here in Home Depot, and he called me back. I had left a message, and he called me back. And I said, "Brother Davis, how are you doing? I wanted to talk to you. I've got a question about Theo Kasavi. You know him?" He said, "I know him. Good man. Good man." I said, "Really? Tell me a little bit about him." And he and I spoke a little bit while I was perusing the aisles there of Home Depot about you, your wife, the ministry that you have over there, and the fact that you were with the Prayer Baptist Missions Board. And I said, "So they're good people." He said, "They're wonderful people." I said, "Well, they've been coming here and visiting our church, and I couldn't put it all together." And he helped me to understand as far as the ministry that you have and the Kenyan natives, and now over here, and as I've been able to speak to them over the last many years, found out that truly they came to seek some political asylum. He has had death threats more than once, more than twice, more than three or four times on his life because of the kind of preaching that he preaches over in Kenya. He's an independent fundamental Baptist. Amen. And that kind of preaching in his particular area did not go over real well. I thank God that they're back to the point now where they can go back and be safe about it and feel safe about it. But I talked to Brother Davis about the Kasavis, and then I got to know them, and then they asked if they could join our church, and I said, "Man, I would love to sit down and talk with you." And so we sat down in my office and we talked about the ministry that they had there, and I asked them about the time that they got saved and when they were scripturally baptized as I do with anyone else, and they gave me the wonderful testimony of being saved and baptized scripturally. And I said, "Well, I would love to have you." And I remember the fact they joined. I just didn't write the date down. Still can't believe that to this day, as much things as I keep track of. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful many years. I'll say six. We'll just kind of go with 6 years. It's been a wonderful 6 years. We've had opportunity over these years to have Brother Kasavi come and preach for us. Quite often he would be in Kenya. Most of you know the story. Miss Esther's would stay here and she would work a full-time job so that they could have a ministry over in Kenya. Not only the church that they have there and the churches around, the men that he has been able to train and move into different villages and have them begin churches in those villages, but they also have the children's home. They have Emmanuel Children's Home right there in Bettini. And much of the monies that she would get when as her full-time job, and with their support that they get through the churches, they'll send over to help to pay for the schooling of the children, the food of the children, help to put a roof over the children's homes, and all of the areas in the, of the ministry over there. And we began to fall in love with them as a church. We began to realize what they were doing. We began to realize that they truly want to see people, number one, come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we read these verses, we go back up here. Look at some of these. If you'll go up here, verse number 19, where it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Oh, listen, before we begin the crux of our message, I must begin at the point of salvation. This morning, as the prayer was offered, "Oh Lord, if there is one here that does not know Christ as their Savior," Brother Posey, he said, "Lord, let them be convicted that they might come to Christ this morning." Could I start there? Oh, could I start there in Scripture? That this morning, if you're here and you say, "I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I have no idea if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell." I had opportunity yesterday, I thank God, Brother Clark and I went out soul winning, and I got to lead Adam to the Lord. Amen! Adam, not little, not your guys' Adam, a man named Adam. I said, "Man, you've got a good, strong Bible name." He said, "Yes." Boy, he listened to the gospel. I thank the Lord that he realized that if he could get to heaven by being good, he finally understood. If he could get there by being good, then Christ didn't need to die on the cross. But yet, Jesus Christ did die on the cross. If God were to look at you this morning and you say, "Hey, Lord, you need to let me in because I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl all of my life." God would look at you and say, "Then why did my Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross for your sin? Why did He shed His perfect, precious blood for your sin? And why did He take your place in hell if all I'm going to look at is your track record, your resume?" Oh no, you must come to Jesus Christ and you must call upon Him as your Savior. You must decide that you're going to forget about what you thought was going to get you to heaven, because it will never get you to heaven. It will never carry you across that shore. It will only take you to hell. Trusting yourself will land you straight in hell. Oh, would you understand this morning that Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you could be born again? The only reason He died is so that you could be born again. The only reason that He had to suffer the cruelty of Calvary is so that you could be born again. The only reason that He had to ever endure the fires of hell as His soul was not left in hell is so that you could be born again. How about you this morning? Are you looking at God and saying, "I'm a good person. I try to do my best. I try to do good unto others. And I try to go to church every now and then. And surely that's going to be enough for God." I'm standing here this morning before you with a Bible in my hand saying it is not. It never will be enough for God. You'll never be good enough for God. The only way you can possibly go to heaven is to resign yourself to the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sin. And if you will repent of your sin and you'll admit to God that you're on your way to hell and you'll beg God and He'll forgive you of your sin, and I thank God you can be born again as Jesus told Nicodemus. That's what we have in the Bible. That's why the Bible is so special. That's why the Bible is so important around this church. Oh, I could maybe tell you how to live a good life and give you a good 70 years, maybe 30 years, maybe only have 10 good years left in you. But then you die and you stand before God. And He says, "I never told you to be a good boy to come to heaven. I sent my Son so that He could pay your price. And He did so. All you needed to do was trust Christ as your Savior. But you neglected. You said no. You trusted yourself too many, all of your life." And God will have no alternative but to usher you to the edge of eternity and cast you into hell for eternity, forever and ever. And He'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Oh, I don't want anyone this morning to leave these church doors and not have any idea where you would spend eternity. Before we even get into any of the rest of the message, can I make that point very, very clear? If you don't know where you would spend eternity, if you say, "I don't know," then you're not going to heaven. Because the Bible tells us that we can know we're going to heaven. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." If I walked up to you and I said, "Harry, are you real? Are you real?" You probably wouldn't let me say, "I'm not sure. I don't know yet." If you did say that, I'd say, "I know a doctor." He's got a little white suit he can wear, right? If you aren't sure whether you're real or not, you've got some problems mentally. Oh, but listen, if you don't know whether you're saved or not, you've got some problems spiritually. And that's the answer to that spiritual problem. Oh, will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you decide today, I want to be born again? Will you decide today, it's the most important decision I could ever make? Doesn't matter what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Doesn't matter how clean I might live my life. It doesn't matter how rotten you've lived your life. Jesus Christ died for everyone. We look at these verses. I purposefully chose 2 Timothy here because of the first few verses. Thou therefore, in verse number 1, in my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You say, Pastor, what's so important about those verses? It's been probably about 4 years ago. I had a message all planned and prepared. And I got up here and I sat over here, and during the song service, the Lord started working on my heart to change the message. And if I remember correctly, and I believe I do, I didn't even have any notes for the message that the Lord was putting on my heart. And I remember doing battle with the Lord over here, saying, Lord, I've already got one. It's already ready. It's all right here. I've got point number one, point number two, point number three. Got a nice little poem in there. Got a little riddle. People will laugh. People will cry. Man, that's what we need. God said, no, what they need is this message. And so I stood before our church that Sunday evening, and I preached a message out of the first few verses here of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And I was asking the church, who have you left your imprint on? Who have you left your imprint on? Who is it that you have decided, I'm going to leave my mark on their life? As I began thinking and praying about this week and knowing, of course, of Brother and Mrs. Kasavi, this will be their last Sunday here. At the time, I thought, why did I preach that message? But in the foyer, Brother Kasavi came to me and he said, Pastor, thank you for that message. Thank you for that message. He said, oh, that message spoke to my heart. He said, I know who it is. I know what I need to do. I know who I need to leave my mark on. I know who I need to influence. I'll never forget the comments that he made to me as he left the church that day. Oh, listen, you don't have any idea who it is that you may be leaving a mark on. You have no idea what words of encouragement might be that you give to someone that's going to leave an impression on their life, that's going to leave an indelible mark upon their life. I thank God for our Brother Kasavi and Mrs. Kasavi and their family. I thank God for these servants that are willing to go and willing to serve the Lord. I love the message that he has preached here. He just preached last Sunday night. Oh, I pray that if you weren't here, get the CD. I guess we have to get the DVD. I think the CD didn't record audio, but we have the DVD. If you'd like that, we can get that to you. I love the message. The one that I reminded everyone, Brother Kasavi, I remember when you took us over back to 2 Samuel and you talked about David. And you said, oh, when we find David, here in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, David thinks about God and he wants to build a house of God. Now, God didn't allow David to do it. God allowed his son Solomon to. But David thought about God. And you took us through that portion of Scripture about how David prepared everything ready for Solomon to build the temple for the Lord. He said, let's go two more chapters over from chapter number 7 to chapter number 9. And we read in chapter number 9 about David thinks about others now. And he thinks about Mephibosheth and the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. And he does so wonderful for Mephibosheth. He reminded us again, you said, first David thought about God. Then David thought about others. He said, let's go two more chapters to chapter number 11 now, and we realize and we read David now thinks about himself, but not in a good way. We read in chapter number 11 David's sin with Bathsheba. Oh, would to God that we would keep our mind stayed on God rather than on ourselves, or that we would keep our mind on others rather than ourselves. Oh, that we would see these things. Brother Kasavi, I thank you for the time that you've had and the influence that you've had on our church people and the love that you have for us and our church and that we can have for him. But as I go back here to 2 Timothy, I want us to see some things here out of this chapter, out of chapters 2 and 3. I want you, if you're taking notes, write down number 1. Let's be ready to serve. Go down to verse number 24. We stopped reading in verse number 21. Go down to verse number 24. It says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Be ready to serve.
I don't know that I could find a more perfect description of verse number 24 than Brother Theo Kasavi and his wife Esther. A servant of the Lord. Not looking for strife. Being gentle unto all men. Oh, being apt and able to teach. Being patient. I can learn a lot from a man who is patient like that. I can learn a lot from a man who has said, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to serve. Folks, how about you? Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to serve? Well, I couldn't be a missionary over on the foreign field. Brother Kasavi is a missionary back to his own people. When is the last time you were a missionary to your own people? When is the last time that you had such a burden for your people? For your homeland? For your country? When is the last time that you had that burden for the bush? The bush, as Brother Theo loves to say. Oh, he's not going to the big city. He's going to the bush, to those people that are so desperate in need. Oh, you come to church and I thank you, Lord, I thank you for that, but we kind of put it into perspective. Listen, I'm glad that you're come to church, and I think this is the house of God. We should be here every time the doors are open, ready for preaching service. I believe the child of God should be there. But are you going out into the bush? Are you going out into the area? Not everyone in this city comes to the big city, to the big church. Oh, we're not a big church. No, not everyone comes and tries to get inside of this church building. Are we ready to go out there? Are we ready to serve them? The second thing I want us to see is found down in chapter number 3. Look at the first several verses. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Watch those last four words. From such turn away. Be ready to separate. Be ready to serve. But why don't you be ready to separate? Why don't you be ready to be different? Oh, I understand the list that we go here. And I understand over in Corinthians, Paul reminds, such were some of you. Oh, we know that. We may not be found in every descriptive, but I will promise you this. Every one of us find ourselves somewhere in that description. Every last one of us find that we were there. And the Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Are you willing to separate? Are you willing to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord? Not the preacher, saith the Lord. Again, I think about Brother Kasavi and his wife having to seek asylum in the United States because of the separated preaching that he preached from the pulpit in his own church. Having death threats on his life not that many years ago, that he would send me as he was back over and his wife was here. And I know, hey, I know without question, it scared her. Hey, but he would send me these emails, Pastor, I got another death threat. Another family in the church that had been in the area, and this happened and that happened, and another death threat. And over the course of 2 or 3 months, several that came his way. Why? Because he was willing to separate. He was willing to separate. Are you willing to separate? What if it meant that someone is going to call you a name? Oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I've said before, you don't hear that a lot anymore. People don't say that little quote anymore because we get so offended so easily. Don't be that kind of a child of God. Don't get offended if someone doesn't like what you're telling them. You're telling them the truth of Scripture, so maybe they call you some name. Suck it up. Amen? Be a little bit tough. Go back and read chapter number 2 and the first several verses there. God has chosen us to be a soldier for Him. Are you willing to separate?
I thank God for lives. I thank God for a man and his wife that are willing not just to serve, but are willing to separate as well. We read on there. Go down. I'll skip several verses here. Go down to verse number 12. In chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Are you prepared to suffer? Are you prepared to suffer? Be ready to serve. Be willing to separate. But are you prepared to suffer? Oh, you see, we're living in a day where we're going to have to endure some real afflictions as a child of God. I have no doubt whatsoever that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation time starts. But we understand the tribulation of the first 3.5 years are going to be perfect peace. Well, if there's perfect peace, there has to be peace from something. And I don't believe we're going to go through one moment of the tribulation, but I believe that we're going to go through some times that we feel like we are already in the tribulation. Are you prepared to suffer? Are you prepared to suffer for your Lord? I have no idea how you might have to suffer. I have no idea what it might mean to you. I know a man that was fired from his job because he wouldn't stop telling people about Jesus Christ. Are you willing to suffer in that regard? We read accounts of individuals that go on a rampage with a gun and they'll point the gun at the head of someone and say, "Do you recant Jesus Christ?" And I'm not talking about Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm talking about present day. There are more martyrs today than there ever have been in all of history. People who are dying for the cause of Christ. Are you prepared to suffer? Are you prepared? We may have to endure some real, genuine suffering. I've said before, I'm not looking forward to the day that they come and they say, "You either stop preaching that or you go to jail." But I would be a fool to say that'll never happen in this country. I'd be a fool to say, "Oh, we better be prepared for some suffering." We'll look at the fourth thing is found there in verses 15 and 16. You're familiar with them. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Are you willing? Are you ready to serve? Are you willing to separate? Are you prepared to suffer? And are you persistent in Scripture? Watch those verses again. "But continue thou." But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, we have more people in our churches today that they were raised in church and they know all about Jesus and they can sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and they can go to bed and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And you can bow your head at a lunch meal and you can say, "God is great, God is good, and we're thanking for this food, amen." You can say all those little ditties. You might even be able to recite the Lord's Prayer as it's commonly known, not to me. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," is not the Lord's Prayer. He didn't pray that. He said this is a great pattern of prayer. As the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." But you might be able to recite that even. But we have a country of people that know all the peripherals about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus as their Savior. And we have a lot of born-again believers who do know Jesus as their Savior, but they seem to forget all of those things that they knew growing up. Preacher, you ever notice that? The world can tell a Christian how to live better than a Christian can tell a Christian how to live. You go to work and you say, "Hey, I've got just a quick straw poll here. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. Do you think I should go to church?" And they're going to say, "Well, if you're a Christian, yeah. Because I wasn't too sure." Let me ask you, do you think I should read the Bible? "Well, if you're a Christian, yeah." Yeah. Been struggling with that one. "Do you think I should tithe?" "Well, if you're a Christian, isn't that what you do?" Yeah, well, that one's really been giving my wife a problem. Coward.
Oh, the world can tell us how to live better than the Christian world can tell us how to live. Are you persistent? Just continue. Just continue. Brother Kasavi, I love you so much. Has a stroke. Goes through all the rehabilitation. Comes back over to the United States. Good medical care. Gets his strength up. And when I asked him, I said, listen, would you be willing to preach for us one last time? He didn't say, oh, well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult and preparing another message. I just don't know that wasn't his words. He was chomping at the bit. He said, yes, 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 yes. In fact, I even said, how about this particular Sunday? And we decided to move it back one Sunday, give him a little bit more study time. That's great. But, oh, he was so ready. He was, why? Persistent. But continue thou. But continue thou. Now going back over to the homeland, going back over to his understanding. Cultures are different. One of the things that has hurt my heart probably the most for you, Brother Mrs. Kasavi, is the culture of the United States is so much different than it is that you're familiar with. When he was in the hospital over in Nairobi, the church, the whole church, would get on a bus and drive 4 hours to Nairobi to be in the hospital. They'd spend hours there. And that's not the culture of our country. They would go to the home once he was back home, and they would spend hours and they would have song services. And I know that's not the culture of our country. I know that. And that has hurt me for you. That culture. But what is amazing is persistence. It doesn't matter that the culture is different. Persistence. I thank the Lord for any missionary that is willing to go into a different culture. And not try to change the culture, but try to change eternity. And I'm not talking about allowing them to have their witch doctors to come in. No, I'm not talking about that. But the culture isn't going to change, but the eternity can. Oh, let's be persistent in Scripture. We read in 2 Timothy 1, go back to chapter number 1. Look at verse 12 and 13. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words. Oh, would we hold fast? Would we be persistent in Scripture? Don't let doctrine die. Don't allow the world to tell us what doctrine is. Don't allow the World Council of Churches to tell us what doctrine is. Don't let all of the other denominations tell us what doctrine is. Let's hold doctrine. Let's hold fast the sound words of Scripture. Oh, let's be persistent. Let's be persistent. Let's not back down. Let's not let the world's attitude dictate our attitude. Let's let the Word of God tell us our attitude. Oh, and the world wants us to cave and to quit and to back down and to be silent and to shut up and not to preach about the Word of God. Let's be persistent because we know what the Scripture says. Amen. I'm thankful for a couple that we get to send off, and we'll miss you. We'll miss the Kasavis. But I'm thankful for what God's allowed you to do here in our church and what God's still going to do in Bettini. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Well, let's pray for them. Let's love them. But let's remember. Let's remember that we see an example of the Bible in their lives. And I'm not here to build up someone more than what they should be built up. But as I read through a book that teaches me about a pastor, I can't help but think of, oh, there are many that come into my mind, but I'm thankful that we got to know one of the families that comes into our mind when we consider Scripture. And that person who is just willing to say, listen, I'm ready to serve. And if it means that I'm going to have to separate, then I'll separate. And if it means that I'm going to have to suffer, I'll suffer. But I'm never going to stop with the Scripture. Well, let's be that way. Let's be that way as a church. We'll close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please, I pray You'd use this. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see as Paul was writing to Timothy, Lord, and trying to encourage him as this preacher. I pray that You would be with us, Lord, as we encourage Brother and Mrs. Kasavi as they go back over to Kenya. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see how much they've encouraged us, Lord. I pray that this church would see how much they've encouraged this preacher. Lord, I pray that I would be able to, when I'm at the point, Lord, where You have allowed physical problems to enter my life, that I would just say, I'm going to just keep moving forward. I'm just going to keep going on. I'm just going to keep preaching, keep telling people, keep sitting and learning and loving You and reading Scripture. Oh, I pray that each of us would be that way. This morning, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask no one to look around. I've got a question for you real quickly. I've got a question. I'm going to ask you about your eternity. I'm going to ask you if you know whether you'd go to heaven if you died right now or not. And if you say, Pastor Sears, I have no idea. I'm going to ask you, would you like to? Maybe that's you this morning. You'd just kind of nod at me. Maybe you'd slip a hand up. Maybe you'd say, I would like to know for sure. I would like to know for sure. Would you slip your hand up right now? Just real quick. Just, preacher, I want to know. I don't have any idea. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus died for my sin, but what does that mean for me? How can I know? Can I know? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Would you be willing this morning to say, that's me. I don't know. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. But I would love for someone to take a Bible and show you how you can get saved today. Is that you this morning? Is that you? I need to be saved. I need to be saved. How about the message this morning? Did it speak to your heart as far as being a servant for God? Did it speak to your heart as far as being willing to separate from the world? Being willing to suffer? Oh, how about the Scriptures? What do they mean to you? Maybe this morning you'd slip your hand up and you'd say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart because there is something that you mentioned today that God got all over me. Would you slip your hand up right now this morning? Well, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. Lord God, thank You. I pray, Lord, that You would just be with us as we make decisions for You, Lord. I pray that we would do them as You want us to, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand.